good word for what you want out of today's meeting. Seth Andrew, co-chair. Something I'm looking for out of today's meeting is in-depth discussion.
Chip Savanich, co-chair of this work group, and I'm looking for more information.
I am Jack, and I'm on the Prevention Council, and I have no agenda. I'm agendaless.
Mark Molnar, Care Council staff, forward movement.
Kevin Hushcroft, HIV Health Services, CPH. I'm with Mark.
Kim Fowler, Wise Change.
Yvette Leung. That was going to be my word, but I will choose curiosity.
Hey y'all, Linda. Looking for an exciting and effective conversation, discussion.
Joshua Long, co-chair of membership. Enlightenment.
Wow.
Meaning of life.
I know. I'm Paul Ord for I'm Eric. I'm with the Care Council. I'm going to go with Mark and Kevin and say that I'm looking for progress until they come in.
David Gonzalez, community member. HIV Prevention Planning Council. Today, decisions. Finalize decisions.
I'm Chuck Adams, a new member of the Care Council, and moving forward is always good.
Jen Cust, Council staff, or Care Council staff, I guess efficiency.
I'm Emily Ragnold, I'm new to the Council staff, and I'm looking to learn more.
Alicon, Care Council staff, with momentum.
Dean Goodwin, HIV Health Services, and I would say finding common ground.
This was my community health equity and promotion branch and prevention council support staff. Forward movement as well.
Eileen Lochran, also from community health equity and promotion branch, and progress.
But David Jordan, Care Council staff. I don't know. I don't know if I'm repeating anyone else's, but progress sounds great.
So now we're going to go ahead and review the agenda. Vote to approve the agenda. Any changes anybody want to make forward here? Right. Seeing none, we'll approve the agenda by consensus. And approval of the October meeting. Minutes.
I have changes that I already saw, but I was like, just the dates are all messed up. So it says August, but these are the October minutes, and then under October, it says August again, so just disregard that part.
Thank you, position. Anyone else? Okay, seeing them, we'll approve the minutes with the modification of agenda. Any public comment?
Or there is on the page 4 of 5, that first black bullet. C.S. Molnar, that's incorrect. I just can't answer that. It's definitely incorrect. So I must have said there is a council mandate to have an HIV positive.
Coach. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a HRSA mandate.
Are you talking about the last paragraph? On?
I'm talking about that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. It says there isn't a HRSA mandate. Is that what? So you want to say that there is, or?
Yeah,
No, the second half was.
Oh, the second half. Okay,
there
gotcha.
There is a councilman.
But there is a, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
Okay. So, little detail.
No, that makes sense.
Anything else?
Okay. So we will now reapprove
them. Okay, any public comment? Or should we have?
Yeah. Is there quorum? I mean, I know that we're down people, but there's. I get confused by all the voting numbers for the care side.
We just made quorum.
Okay.
Literally.
Because we're down, what, three people? Four voting numbers on my side.
Any public comment?
I gotta leave at 5:10. That's the only thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So moving right into it. So the roadmap schedule and possible votes.
I'm going to just go over these slides.
Yeah.
And then based on some things that I heard from staff, but I'm not sure if they had necessarily looked at these. So if there's an opportunity to correct anything. Please do it now. But basically, and I apologize, I think the printout of the roadmap is some parts are blocked out. But how I heard it was that basically what you're going to be hearing in a moment is that the staff themselves looked at the two councils' bylaws and basically created a suggestion for a number of different groups to kind of split the different responsibilities. And so one is this group here as the Joint Leadership Work Group will continue to discuss the issues where there has been disagreement and to come up with joint resolutions. But the staff looked through the bylaws and the ones that they felt like were really language that the CDC and HRSA has, that they are going to propose language back to this group to see how they can really merge the two, the different languages around the bylaws. There's also the Joint Full Council, that group has been coming together really to look at what you all come up with, right? And actually also to discuss and vote on the bylaws of a merged council. The individual councils will then also vote on approval of dissolution of the individual council's bylaws. And then starting in January, there'll be a creation of a joint policies and procedures work group that will then look at the specific policies and procedures and make recommendations. And the last group is a joint integrated planning group. Both the joint policies and procedures and the joint integrated planning groups would start in January. And so when you look at this roadmap here, the first blue arrow is supposed to be the joint leadership work group. And basically, the idea is that it will meet up until the idea is May of 2016. The second orange bullet is really the assessment, which we had done earlier. And then the green shaded area is really the work of the full council. And so we had a retreat, we had a full council meeting in October, and then starting in January, there will be the creation of the joint P&Ps and the joint integrated planning. Let me see. And then the idea is to have one more joint full council meeting in May, where it will review all of the different resolutions that you've come up with. And then the merge council, there'll be, after the proposed merge date that you would vote on, the merge council would then start in May, and the proposal is to have monthly meetings, and I apologize again that this is fuzzy, but that there'll be June, July, and August meetings in anticipation for the major deliverables that have to happen in September, mainly the letter of concurrence, the integrated plan, and even the prioritization of funding. So that's my understanding based on what the staff have said to me, but it'd be great if the staff, if you have any corrections or additions, that this is a time to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you, Yvette. I think that you pretty much reviewed what we talked about. At the last staff meeting between care staff, care council staff, and chef staff, the idea really came that on the care side, we have a summit that happens every August. At that summit, we actually accomplish our mandate, which is prioritization of services and resource allocation. That actually is around the same time that the prevention council has to accomplish its mandate on the letter of concurrence. So the idea was, if we're aiming for accomplishment of both mandates together, then we could have that summit together. To have that summit together, we actually need to have, on the care side at least, the prior months, because those prior months are filled with information. And so it's just moving back from that end date, not end date, but in some ways start date, moving backwards, that meant that we should be looking potentially at a merge in May to make sure that we're all together and on the same page, not necessarily the same page, all together hearing the same information to make decisions in June, July, and August. So that was the logic behind that last line.
Yeah, that was the conversation we had. August is when we do our joint, our letter of concurrence. It's due in September. So there's a lot of things due in September, it seems like. So the joint plan, the letter of concurrence, and the prioritization or resource allocation.
Both.
The one thing I would also would add is that for a merge date in May, we would have to have the bylaws ready for approval in April. So you have to post a month in advance. So that's, there's an accelerated time later on that, too.
So, in order to have a merge council and everyone be on level voting footing, the appointments by the mayor would have to be done by May.
Yeah, my plan is to approach the mayor's director of appointments, maybe even go there with someone like me, who knows, and talk to them about this. I don't want to do it too soon because I don't want to get lost in the mayoral mix, but I don't want to wait too long because it could take, hopefully not a while, but it could. So that's my current plan, is to talk to whoever that person may be. I think it's a person named Shadi. In January.
So I guess concurrent with that, then we should also plan to draft some sort of update for Barbara Garcia, just of what our proposed timeline is, just so that she's aware of it in the mix as well.
So this is the proposal from I guess joint staff, and so it's something that the committee, the workgroup agreed with. That's why it's been noted as a possible vote. So we have to, that last line would have to be approved by this body.
So we would need a motion and a second, and then a discussion.
Motion to approve that motion.
So second to approve the timeline.
Any discussion?
All right. Jack Coleman.
Yes.
Irene Lawton.
Yes.
David Gonzalez.
Yes.
Andrew Lopez.
Yes.
Charles Cerrone.
Yes.
Eric Sutter.
Yes.
Chip Spanish.
Yes.
Linda Walden.
Yes.
Gary. Good job, guys.
So we approved the merge date, right? So we also, just as a note, we discussed in their monthly meeting, so are we also voting on meeting frequency or just meeting a frequency up until August?
That's to be determined.
I think certainly there's an assumption, at least on the care side, about monthly meetings, but that hasn't been discussed.
Right.
It's only monthly in some ways for that period of time, because under the current Prevention Council bylaws, you can only approve within a calendar year 6 meetings. And so this actually makes 6 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we have
2 be discussed. The frequency.
You have 3 other meetings scheduled?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So we'll do it at sometime in the new year, perhaps before, perhaps after the merge, is that what you're finding?
Well, as far as approving what you guys just did, we'll do that in January on the care side.
No. I meant the meetings.
Oh, that will have to be added to the joint leadership work group agenda at some point.
Okay, meeting frequency, post-September, or September.
Post-August, starting in, yeah.
Okay,
this is only for 2 months in the late winter, early spring, then May through August.
Okay.
And we're going to be kind of doing a straw poll or starting the conversation with on the prevention side at our next meeting, just about what if we move back to monthly meetings.
Right.
Or could people be down for that? What does that look like? Is that a very simple?
Right. We're also going to do like a doodle poll. And I think we're going to make it quasi-anonymous, so whether you're just sort of assess whether you're an appointed to your community seat, so we can get sort of equitable input from everybody, making sure that whatever issues pop up, it's not something that's too burdensome on the community side. And also trying to strategize, if appointed seats can't make it, then how do we sort of rework the alternates to be able to vote in their place when they can't make those meetings, because it's just been a little challenging when you have folks that are supposed to be there that don't show up. So, yeah.
So is there any...
So we have approved, by that vote, we approved the roadmap in its entirety. Is that correct? Including that.
Okay, fantastic. So moving on to our cross-up of council bylaws. So I think this is you guys.
So we'll be looking at these three documents. So the first is a list that says policies to move to PNP. This corresponds to the spreadsheet that says suggestion move to PNP. And later we'll be looking at the green Excel spreadsheet. So just a little bit of background. If you were in your last meeting, and Yvette touched on some of it in her breakdown of their PowerPoint, but there was a discussion around how to tackle bylaws, and I think last time the group came up with a couple ideas. One was to delegate certain policies to PNP to sort of streamline the bylaws, and accordingly we have taken out some, and these are bylaws that staff on both sides agreed could have a place in PNP instead of bylaws. So just to start, I think we can look at those. The policies to move to PNP, the shorter one, is just a list of the content. So attendance policy, excused absences, termination and resignation, a status change, which refers to eligibility, whether you're eligible to be a council member, specifically on the prevention side, council member responsibilities, a stipend, community co-chairs. To be clear, that's not, you know, there's been that discussion we've been having in this group, that's not the idea of community co-chairs, it's like their terms, what happens if they resign, things like that. So it's more of like the nuts and bolts. Same for at-large members, leave of absence policy, representation of the council, which refers specifically to interactions with the media, and proxy special meetings, so things like work groups or ad hoc meetings, and grievance procedures.
And some of the stuff for the care council, some of it was in their bylaws, and for the prevention, it was in the P&Ps, and then vice versa. So this is just trying to bring the two councils' four documents kind of together and in line with each other.
Mm-hmm. So in this Excel spreadsheet, it kind of breaks down where. So it's HPPC on the left side, HHSPC on the other side, and it breaks down where they lie, sort of. So often you'll see that one of the main reasons around moving it to PNP is that it doesn't exist in the bylaws in one, and so it's possible to move it into policies and procedures rather smoothly. Does that make sense? Any questions about these?
So So all the blanks on the HSBC side is because it's a policy procedure, it's not by us.
And there's certain ones where there's a blank where there actually isn't policy or there's not a comparable policy. And this is not to say that these aren't issues that need to be discussed at some point. Just saying that they don't need to be tackled by this group. And there's a separate list of things that would need to be tackled. So it's more like a prioritization of where you need to deal with the issues. Anything you guys want to add to that?
So at this point, then, this is a suggestion from joint staff that this has been noted for a possible vote because it would, of course, require a motion to move this shorter list of topics to a PhD work group.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
All right, wow, we're moving along. Forward vote.
Thank you for
Linda Wallabango. Chip
Kapanich? Yes.
Eric Sutter?
Yes.
Charles Cerrone?
Yes.
Ken Pierce? Andrew Lopez?
Yes.
David Gonzalez?
Yes.
Eileen Loughran?
Yes.
Jack Solomon?
Yes.
Good job, guys.
This is... Yeah, great job. Thank you, everybody.
So this is a little bit of a two-parter.
Okay.
You don't just there's another quick. So putting the P&P ones aside, there's this green spreadsheet that we don't need to go over exhaustively at this point. But what this is policies that we've lined up that are related but have a conflict in some way that need to be resolved. And it's more than just a language change or a mandate change. So what you see is on the right side is ideas for how to resolve it. So the first one is probably the easiest one to illustrate this, which is just that this group would need to name the merge council. So we don't need to go through this at this point, but it does give sort of a good idea of what issues need to be tackled still in order to have bylaws ready. Does that make sense? So I'm not suggesting we go through that in this agenda item, but I think it's a good to refer back to.
So this is what the joint leadership work group would work on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So also, there's a separate list that we didn't bring that are just language changes that staff would, that are literally just like consolidating the language around like a mandate or something. So we bring those changes separately, not today.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, we have three working lists of agenda items for future joint leadership. We have this thing here. We have the other thing that Ali mentioned as far as the language. And then we have the list that is on live change, which might include some of these things as well. Which is great, but they're all the whole time on the agenda. Whatever the agenda will be.
Has anyone looked at all three yet? Has anyone looked at all three as far as overlap and things? Or
yeah,
are they three?
There's like a master document that is a mess. But Eric, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And will that be presented on the joint?
I think that breaking them into parts, component parts, there's no overlap between the three lists and there's nothing left out of those three lists, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So we've just broken them out into like sort of easier to digest pieces. And tasked accordingly, sort of. Does that seem like still like a workable plan to move forward?
I guess so. So let me make sure I have this correct. There's a list of items from the bylaws that is going to go to the policies and procedures work group when it's formed. Mm-hmm. There's a list of items that will stay with the joint leadership work group that are for us to work out and take back to the full council meeting in May. Mm-hmm. And then there's wise change list, which is...
That's not the same.
It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the third list is that staff have a list of bylaws that they're going to work and suggest language because it's all related to HRSA and CDC mandates. And they're going to bring it back here.
So, okay, yeah. So language comes here, bylaws is done here, and that other list is going to a work group.
The language list would still come back here, but in some ways it would be similar to like move to PNP because it would be non-substantive language changes where you'd see what it was originally, and how it would look in a merged situation.
Okay.
Yeah. They're the ones that we assume would have less discussion.
So we just be like,
nothing being changed for each council.
It's just
more changes voting on the language that combines.
Okay.
And then the policy and procedure work group will come out of this group? Or
it'll come out of both councils. My understanding is a prevention council. Enacting a work group on the care side. We already have one. It's just a hibernation. So it'll just be reconvened.
And then our
and
John
together.
Together.
Oh yeah, together.
So
Charles.
So
joint leadership policy and procedure.
I just want to be clear. So this thing is going to be all this list is going to be moved to PNP. Is that what
correct.
We're saying?
Which is the same as
this one right here.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So the second one should be this is the council has the staff has a recommendation for this green thing.
Mm-hmm. Correct. That's here.
But that's also going to be moved to PNP.
No, that's ours.
It's going to be discussed here and then potentially moved to PNP policy and procedure.
Okay, that's what I want to clear on. Thank you.
Right.
So, do we need to make any bylaw changes to having merged policy and procedure group and to vote together?
I think it's a good.
On the care side, it's fine. I don't know on the prevention side, but you guys need to have a bylaw change to have that being integrated.
Because it's a work group.
So, yeah, our membership is actually flexible, that's right.
Yeah.
So our members would only, the prevention members would vote for the work group or just for the prevention aspect? I mean, I guess they're just more
for work group.
So when working on the policies and procedures together, so working on the policies and procedures for merged council.
Right.
So they're going to work on it for the merged council, and then at some point, both councils together will vote on the new bylaws and policies and procedures.
So essentially it's a recommendation like coming from a work group of like all the things that they're going to decide in the group and they're not voted on in any way, shape, or form, but just coming to both groups as recommendations based on what they decide.
Or as a motion. Or motions are not supposed
to. My feeling is that the policy and procedure work group will having a lot of will come with a lot of recommendations about policies, and those will all come before a merged council sometime after August. Because they're not bylaws, it's not necessary for them to actually be approved prior to the inception of the merged council.
So in this on this slide here, around the vision of merger responsibilities, under joint P&Ps, it says review individual council P&Ps and develop joint P&Ps for the merged council to vote on.
Now, haven't we had a discussion about some policies and procedures were important to have in place before we merge or at the time of the merge and others were could wait? Have we done that analysis yet? Or is that for the work group to do?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
Sure. We've had discussions where certain policies and procedures were brought up that were necessary to have in place before a merged council exists. But there were others that could wait until after to be implemented. And has an analysis been done about what we have to do and what can wait? Or will that be done by the PNP work group?
We were literally just talking about this. I think my initial thoughts are that there's certain policies and procedures that are relatively more minor and come up less, and then there's some that are really crucial to function. We were just discussing proxy policy, so maybe coming up with a list of high priority policy and procedures to be tackled as soon as January. And front load with like high priority policies, and then as we get closer to actually being a merged council, we would have a lot of this tackled. But I haven't looked
if we're merged in May, some of the key ones like proxy could come certainly before September. Could come in June, July, August.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Y'all have moved on. My question was under term of office. There were no provisions in either bylaws about the number of terms you could hold. Back in my mind says something, but it's not listed under term of office, and unfortunately
is the green one?
I think the reason we left terms on here is because that has been an issue that's come up. and to be discussed whether or not.
I understand that, but under term of office where you gave us the two issues, I thought in my head there was something about one or other count. I know it isn't the CARE, but it might have been the HPPC had a limit on the number of terms you could have. Is that not true?
That is, it's only for co-chairs.
Okay. Okay, so that's not a problem. So you could have a gazillion terms.
Right. So there can be a member that can just continuously renew. There's not a limit to that. Co-chairs, it's two and a half terms. So whatever, it's a month, a specific month number, and that's in our policies and procedures.
So to clarify that policy, most of them on here have like a conflict. They don't. They can't coexist. This one, the term policy isn't true. It's just come up in other meetings, and so we included it on the list of topics to be discussed.
Well, what I was just going to say is, so then I looked at this list, and then I looked at the list that we had for the Joint Leadership Work Group, and then I created this list, which is on page 3.
The Joint Leadership Discussion Issues?
Yes. And so what I did was, if we've already discussed it, then I put a check mark on it, and if we hadn't. And what I did was I tried to just think from the perspective of if there's going to be a merged council, what are those kinds of things that you're going to need to talk about? So I just reorganized them. So there's name and purpose, that includes name, mission, vision, geographic area, since you serve. There's the leadership makeup. There's membership and seats, and under that is term of office, for instance. Committee structure, meeting procedure, voting, and then meeting frequency. So those are the ones that I have down that I basically compare this list to the working list that we had, and then just put it down, what are the ones that we've already discussed. And then I, knowing that May actually is going to come up sooner than later, I tried to also account for, well, what are the kinds of discussion issues that we're going to need to have by what month? And so the second slide is really an anticipation of that, noting that the May meeting is really the full council's meeting, and so everything really has to be done by April. I'm happy to send this out again as a PDF because there's so many, I'm not sure what's going on with the printing of this, just so that you... ideally there's a good amount of time so that you can have the discussion that you need.
Thank you, Yvette. I think this is a great way to look at the meetings of this group moving forward. Just one note that this will be an expanded list in some ways. These aren't going to be the only topics. Right. There still is a list of motions that are all based around language, bylaws that are all based around language that would have to be put in here too, even though we assume or imagine that might not be enough. That might not lead to a lot of discussion. They will have to make time throughout this multi-month period. So this is a definitive list.
So these will come in as they are completed, or will they come in?
I think that when the staff meet again, we're going to probably come up with our own internal timeline in figuring that out. But I assume that they wouldn't come until, well, who knows? Maybe as soon as December, but probably more like January.
Just one comment for the stuff we're moving to policies and procedures. So I know you were saying that there's some things that are more higher priority than others. So before we form the work group, would we be able to like have a list like this that can prioritize? That way when the group meets, they can just have like, here are things that we need to work out, and then they can just kind of run down the list. And then that way things are happening in the order that we need them.
Yes. I think that's a good idea.
Any other discussions on our kind of roadmap?
So I have, when we get to the part about the joint work group committees, I kind of have a feeling that we might be, if we reached out to John Andrews, he might be willing to help us facilitate that. And he's someone who almost all of us know, was so good at what we did. It seems like a resource that we might want to try to utilize.
Okay.
we don't agree in the first place to reach out and ask him.
He was the main council member for the Branching Falls. He was the main council member that revised our policies and procedures. And that took several years of meeting monthly. And so
he's very detail oriented.
And he also has a great familiarity with the PEP. So I don't know if you would agree to that or not. I think that's a good idea, but that's who he was.
All right. Mm-hmm. He's also really easy to work with. He always brought home baked cookies to every
meeting. It sounds lovely to me. Of course, I have to go to the other. How much money will this cost us? Okay. I don't know. We can explore it.
I wasn't thinking that.
Just so that you know, John Anders did it for free.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean, he was
in comfort.
Okay. I mean, it just relaxing us might be a part of herself.
And Baker
Coffee.
Okay. So I think we're. Is there any more stuff for the crosswalk? You bet. Okay. So then, moving into the definitions, I think we started this conversation. Last meeting, and it was to be continued.
So I'll jump in here and then Jose Luis, if there's anything you wanted to add or clarify as well. So look at the bottom of page 4, that's the first of two slides. These are terms that are going to be ones that you are already familiar with, but because of the merge and because of the different ideas around what is or is not a consumer service, as well as a lot of the challenges that council members have experienced in seeing what is affiliated or unaffiliated, what has a conflict, who has a conflict, who doesn't. The recommendation was to come up with a pretty specific clarification term. So, on the first slide, it's about consumer services. I think it's going to mean in many ways a big sea change for your council members as far as just remembering a merged council would mean a different definition of consumer services. A consumer of services within a merged council that sees both prevention and care within the same continuum as any individual who accesses prevention or care services. However, beyond consumer of services is a language that's a part of the HRSA mandate, which is an HIV positive unaffiliated consumer of services. There's a HRSA mandate that one-third of the planning body that oversees Rhine-wide Part A funds has to be an HIV-positive, unaffiliated consumer of services. So that seems simple enough, but then there are layers. This individual could also be a service provider. If this person is a service provider at an agency that could receive Rhine-wide Part A or prevention dollars, then actually their status as a service provider means that they have a conflict of interest. We'll go more into service provider later. That means they have an affiliation. They can no longer be considered unaffiliated, and they cannot count towards the one-third that HRSA mandates. If this, where things get really misty and ambiguous and between no solid answers, is really going to be sort of the group and the individual need to determine, is around government representation. An HIV-positive consumer of services could also be a government rep. Important in some way for that person to figure out if they carry a potential conflict. There is no set in stone around that. But we'll visit that more on the next slide. Any questions on the differences between consumer of services and HIV positive unaffiliated consumer of services?
Yeah, Mark, the issue about where is it that could be they are not now, or could be. Yeah, why they could be? I mean, if you're working for an agency that does not get Rhine-wide funds, but it could be, I mean, most everybody could be. I mean, do we really want to put could be in there?
I'm not sure where you're seeing could be.
The second sentence.
You say
are or could be. Oh, absolutely. Well, if a person works for an agency that is going to be and say responding to an RFP, then that's a potential conflict of interest. A potential or perceived conflict of interest is just as much of a conflict of interest as an actual conflict of interest.
Okay, so if you work for an agency that does not now get funds, but is applying on bid or funds, then you have a conflict of interest.
Yes, you have a potential conflict of interest and should name it.
But then,
ideally,
once, if they don't receive the funds, then they're no conflict.
It's really up to that individual. We can't, in some ways, all we can do is try to make it clear to that individual that they should declare a conflict of interest. It's actually up to that individual whether or not they're going to declare. Does that make sense? Staff is not going to say, you need to do, well, we could possibly say that, but it's up to the individual to say, actually, I don't have a perceived conflict of interest because Kaiser will never go after that funding, and so I will never have a conflict of interest, and I'm fine being a Kaiser representative and voting on everything. And the council, certainly council staff, will have to respect it, and for me, that logic would hold anyway.
It's not so much conflict of interest, it's the unaffiliated.